the sermon, you'd have to say amen and take up the offering because it's two chapters long. And this is in my mind, almost a matter of confessional integrity that we would continue to have such thing as Palm Sunday. Just kidding. But you can do Sunday of the Passion if you want, but I always did Palm Sunday and just read the story from the appropriate gospel for that series. Now, it's interesting that Dr. Bartelt's comments, you know, in a sense, downplaying the meek, mild thing on riding on a donkey, because the text of Palm Sunday that I know best is the one from Matthew's gospel, where there are two explicit themes in Matthew's account of Palm Sunday which are absent in Mark, which gives us an opportunity to sort of step back and, okay, let's pay specific attention to how Mark does, in fact, portray it and not slide over, if you will, into Matthew. And so quickly glance with me at Matthew 21, and two strong themes that are simply absent in Mark. And again, it gives us a chance to perhaps try to bring out some of the specificities of Mark's account. If you look at Matthew 21, without even translating, you get to verse 5, and you see that the text has inset this length, you know, the lengthy quote from Zechariah 9, where precisely the king is praus, he is lowly, right? So the two things that Matthew is emphasizing here is, first of all, the lowly character of Jesus' entry, and secondly, that it's the explicit fulfillment of Holy Scripture, right? Well, that's preachable stuff, right? I mean, you could work with that in a sermon. Both of those things are absent from Mark. Not that Mark would disagree with him or something. They're just not there, okay? So in a sense, it gives us a chance to step back and say, okay, how does Mark offer his account of the same event, and how might we attend to his account? Because he doesn't have the Old Testament fulfillment, and so therefore doesn't emphasize the meekness of Jesus. In fact, the way the narrative unfolds, I think he emphasizes another angle on it. So let's go back to Mark 11 now, and read it. This would be the great thing, you know, when you're 75 years old, and you've worked hard your whole life to be able to know Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John, each of them well enough on their own terms, you know, that you could say, sort of, here's great Markan themes, and then you could compare them to great Johannine themes, you know, and none of us is that far along yet. Mark 11, verse 1. A lot of historic presence here. Mark, as his style is characterized by this, namely where you have a present indicative and it's recounting or narrating a past event. So, again, probably adds just a little touch of vividness, but because it's so common, we'll just translate them sort of straight. So, kai hate engidzuzin, Ace Yerusalima, Ace Bethphage, Kai Bethanian, Prestas Aras Ton Elion. And when, literally, they draw near, and Gizzo means to approach or draw near, but again, taking this present in context as an historic or historical presence. So when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, a lot of geographical notes here, comma, to the Mount of Olives, right? So they're drawing near to the city. Apostele, he sent two of his disciples. That's easy enough. Kai lege autois, and he says to them, Hippagete, go into the village. Which village? Tain kat enanti himon, the opposite you one. Okay, this is a good example of you know, the so-called power of the definite article, to take an improper preposition like kat enanti and turn it into an adjective, right? So which village? You stick a definite article, repeat it, tain komen, tain kat enanti himon, the village, the opposite you one. So Jesus points and says, go into that village, cross the valley, probably, from you. And immediately, of course, in Mark, everything happens immediately. I don't know how often this little adverb occurs in Mark, but it's all over the place. And immediately, ace perioamenoi, and immediately going in from ace perioamai, present participle, middle deponent, masculine plural nominative. So the y'all of the subject is the referent, the so-called stealth referent hidden in the main verb. And immediately, as you, and this temporally works quite well, as you were going in to it, autein, feminine pronoun, because village is feminine. So the antecedent of autein is komein, earlier in the sentence. And immediately as you're going into it, you will find heureisete from heurisko, second principal part, heurezo, you will find a polon, a colt. Now let's describe the colt. Dedemenon, having been bound. Deo means to tie up or to bind, right? No definite article around, so the referent is clearly polon, right, because it agrees in gender, number, and case. No article around to absolutely nail down the position, but it's a perfect, let's see. Yeah, it's a perfect participle passive, and it's following the noun, so just take it as attributive position acting like an adjective. What kind of a colt? A having been bound colt. You will find a bound colt, ephon, upon which, and again you spot that epi followed by a word that begins with a vowel, elides from epi to f, and you have the little comma there, upon which, udes upo anthropon ekathesin, upon which no one, not yet, of men, sat. It's a little bit awkward, but it's clear enough. Upon which no human being, no man has ever yet sat, right? You'll find this when you go into the village. Lucita autan, lucit kai ferita. Now this is interesting to me. I don't exactly know what to make of it, to tell you the truth. That we have an aorist imperative, untie it, and then we have a present imperative. Okay? Now is this lends some sort of urgency to ferita, right? A little bit more emphasis? Maybe so, okay? So the important feature here is not the untying, it's the bringing. You know, so urgently bring this to me, or something like that. And, moving on in verse 3, and kai aeon tis humin epe, and if a certain one to you says, epe is the aorist subjunctive active of lego, remember lego, arrow, apon, right? And this is one where when you leave the indicative mood, the stem stays the same as in the indicative. So instead of the subjunctive being ipe or something like that, the epsilon just stays there. And if a certain one says to you, te poieta tuta, why are you doing this thing? Easy enough. Now comes the then clause, epata, say. And here, by the way, here's one of those little funny things that you see in the New Testament. Apon is the strong aorist, or the second aorist of lego, right? So you'd expect an omicron in the ending. The alpha is the weak aorist ending, but you simply see this sometimes. You get strong aorist stems with weak aorist endings just to avoid, just so that you won't have any carnal sense of security, you know, in parsing verbs, you know, just to keep you on the edge. So if anyone says to you, why are you doing this thing, say, ha kyrios autou kreion eche. Now this could go either way, actually. I didn't spend an hour checking out the order of pronouns in Mark. It could be, his lord has need. In other words, the cult's lord, right? Which seems a little unlikely to me, that Jesus would, you know, tell the disciples to say, I'm really the owner of this cult. That's possible, I suppose. You could go that way. Or, a little more naturally, I think, in spite of the word order, that the autu goes with crayon. So the translation would be, the Lord has crayon of it. So the Lord has need of it. And again, just so that you'll have a chance to gag on your food, if you're chewing at the present moment, what kind of genitive would this be? To have need of it, recognizing that there's a verbal, you know, this is an action, an event word, need to need something, right? This would be a, what kind of genitive? I promise, nobody will laugh. Be prey? No. It'd be objective, right? See? Again, the sense is with an event word like need, or any event word like love, the love of God, right? That can mean love for God as the object of the love, or it can mean God who's the subject, who's doing the loving. Just depends on the context, right? So need of it, I think, is actually a fairly clear example, as everybody looks at me saying, why are you bringing this up? A fairly clear example of an objective genitive. That is, he needs it, right? The colt is what is needed. It's the object of the action of needing. He needs it. Okay, I'm sorry I brought that up. Just when you were feeling good. And notice again, at once. With this, at once, it, no, he will send it again here. Pollen is a little awkward there. Send it again here. The sense is clear enough. So Jesus tells him in advance what's going to happen. I think, by the way, this is part of the key to the uniqueness of this passage. I think part of the way Mark is, one of the things Mark is interested in portraying is Jesus is running the show. See? And he tells how it's going to happen, and it happens just as he said it would happen. And he rides in as the king, and he enters, and then the reader is left, what's he going to do? See, the passage is uniquely Markan in some ways. So verse 4, and they went out, the disciples, and they found a colt bound at the door outside at P2 Amphodu on the street. See? So it's happening. He said, you will find a colt bound. They go, and they found a colt bound, right? Kai luuzin autan, and they loosed it, another historic present. And just so that we'll know that Jesus is really in charge here, that he really knows what he's talking about, Mark gives us the actual interaction, which is not in Matthew, for instance. And certain of the there present people, okay? Heste katon is the perfect participle active of histemi, right? And it's masculine plural genitive, so it's of the standing people. Histemi means to stand, right? So certain ones of the standing there people began to say, or that works well, were saying, elegon is imperfect indicative active, third plural. And inceptive works well because they go up and they untie the colt, right? And then some of the people, when they see this, they begin to say to them just what Jesus said they would say, right? Te poieta, why are you doing, or what are you doing, luantes tan palan? Here's a participle. The referent is once again the unexpressed subject of the main verb, poieta, the you, masculine plural nominative referent for the participle. And this works well to translate, what are you doing by loosing, by untying the colt? Verse 6, but they said to them, just as Jesus said, and af ekon autus, they permitted them. Af ekon is from afiemi, right? And the only salvation for remembering how to parse forms of afiemi is, other than looking up in a parsing guide or punching your button on your computer, which we all know that none of us in this room ever does, is to remember how tithemi goes. Tithemi follows, afiemi follows tithemi. You just take the af off. I'm sorry I said that. So this, even though there's a kappa, it's an aorist. This is a strong aorist of afiemi. And it can mean anything from to permit, to allow, to release, to forgive. Here, in context, it means allow. They allowed them, or they permitted them. Now again, look at how Mark is hammering home. See, Jesus said this would happen this way. They go and find it just the way he said it. And then the guys standing there say what Jesus said they would say. And then it happened, and they responded just as Jesus said. What's the theme here? The theme is, Jesus is running the show. See? Jesus is running the show. See? And I think this is one of the main, you don't yet know how you're going to apply that in context, although I have at least one suggestion at the end. What time should we stop? Is it time to stop? Doug is so disgusted he's leaving. Yeah. Okay. No, all the way to half past? No. No, classes are then. At the most. Okay. Moving ahead then. Verse 7. And they bring, just as Jesus told them to. He told them to pharaoh the colt. They pharaoh the colt, right? They bring to Jesus and they epibalo. They throw upon it the cloaks of them, and he sat upon it. And many the cloaks of them they strewed from strunimi. This is an aorist, means to spread in the way. But and others leafy branches cutting out of the fields, and the ones going in front, the pro-agroing guys, and the following guys kept on crying out, Hosanna, which I think, isn't this from Yasha, and it's got the particle of entreaty on the end of it? This is the Hifil imperative, right? Whew, yes. Thank you. So, please, God is a God of order. Don't throw change, just quiet bills. Thank you very much. So save now. Blessed the one coming in the name of the Lord. Now this is uniquely Markan. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna en tois hipsistois. Save now in the highest. Right? Is this the king? Is this really the king? Yes. Is this happening as he said it would? Yes. Do the crowds understand what kind of king? Maybe not. Maybe not. In fact, I'll mention this now. In the story of Mark's gospel, beginning in chapter 8, the obvious theme of which we're all aware is that Jesus has begun to talk about what he will do and what must happen when he goes to the place where he's now arriving, Jerusalem, right? See, he's running the show. He's the one who already says in chapter 8, I think it's in verse 31 or somewhere like that, it is necessary that the Son of Man go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And then he repeats it, and then he repeats it again, and now we're there. Right? He is running the show, and the show is heading toward the cross. See? And again, I would say that that's at least one of the central themes of this text. And again, the way that Mark, compared to the other synoptic writers, depicts the Palm Sunday. And then verse 11, this is uniquely Markan also, I think. I know it's not in Matthew. And he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and after looking around at everything, here's the genitive absolute. The participle is ouzes, participle of eimi, right? Already being late the hour, because the hour was already late, ex aelthen, he went out into Bethany with the 12. I mean, this too, at least it feels to me like, he's got his own time as to when he's going to do things. Now, he's going to come back the next day and he's going to cleanse the temple, right? But not now. He's the king. He's in charge. He's in Jerusalem where he has to go. Something like that. And it's kind of time to stop. Questions? Comments? Yeah, very much so. Setting the stage, setting the scene, right? You bet. And it's fun because Matthew doesn't have a lot of this stuff isn't in Matthew, I know, and I don't think it's in Luke either. So it's a nice chance to really preach Mark. That's right. That's right. Well, I hadn't looked at this text in years, probably. I had to admit it, but I'm reading it this morning. I'm going, this is pretty obvious. What's this doing here? Oh, I think I know part of what's going on here.